When the heat is on and when the opposition is mounting, it's tempting to surrender and say, forget it, I give up. Yes, resignation is far easier than perseverance. But today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll will reinforce the importance of steadfast determination. Whether you're tempted to compromise your values, resign your ministry at church, or forfeit your convictions by sugarcoating the truth, this message is for you. Chuck is teaching from 2 Timothy chapters 3 and 4, citing the wise counsel from the Apostle Paul. His message called Never Quitting begins with prayer.
Our Father, may we take these words to heart. May they be transformed from black print on white pages into living truth that is exhibited in our lives. In these desperate days in which we live, we need what you can provide, and only you, the courage to stay at it. Teach us the power of determination. Remind us of the rewards of never quitting. We commit to you, our Father, in these decadent days, these people who have gathered in this place of worship. May we, as a result of this instruction, not only learn truth to live by, but begin to live it from one day to the next. We ask this in the name of the God of all grace, our matchless Savior, Jesus Christ. And everyone said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called Never Quitting.
What we come to in the third and fourth chapter are some of the raw sections of Scripture where the apostle, led by the Spirit of God, tells it like it is. He describes this as the last days. I would describe this as our days. We are living in these days, as you will see when we work our way through these verses, 2 Timothy 3. These are words passed on from one who is aging to one who has many, many years in front of him. Timothy, you should know this. Know what? In the last days, there will be very difficult times. The key word, before we go any further, is the word difficult. The Greek term means a number of things: hard, harsh, hard to deal with, sometimes used for the word violent, dangerous, menacing. One of my mentors used to translate it savage. Savage times have come. Now we come to a passionate reminder, verse 10. Look at verse 10. But you, Timothy, you know what I teach and how I live and what my purpose in life is. You know my faith, my patience, my love, and my endurance. You know how much persecution and suffering I've endured. He's not bragging. He's telling him, these are the truths. These are the facts of my life, Timothy. You're aware of that. You know all about how I was persecuted in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, one of those places he's stoned, left to die. But he said, the Lord rescued me from all of it. Yes, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Timothy, difficult times are coming. Savage times. Our word today would be man up. Step up, Timothy. And my word to you as a Christian living in this 21st century is step up. Stop looking for a reason to set aside life or to find a way to get away from the pressure. You know what's easy to forget when you read these words is that Paul is in his mid-60s. What do we do in America when we reach our mid-60s? Yeah, You're right. Retire.
Oh, that great R word. I checked it in Webster's, and you may find it interesting. This is the definition, Webster: to withdraw, to go to bed, to seek seclusion or shelter, to remove from active service, to remove from circulation, to withdraw from public life, to retreat. Am I against your leaving your company and taking your retirement? You know better than that. There's nothing wrong with your bringing home with you a little gold watch and eating that sorry piece of cake that they fixed for you, and everybody waves goodbye and acts like they're sad to see you go. There's nothing wrong with that. I just don't want you to retire from life. I don't want you to just turn it off, which is easy to do when you get into your mid-60s. I remember when I decided to come back to Texas, I was very close to 60. Dallas Seminary had contacted me and wanted me to be at the leadership of the school. And when I got past the amazement of their call, I discovered that a lot of people around me wondered why I would do such a thing. And a frequent comment was, "Hey, man, you're almost 60. Like, what does that mean?" And then in my mid-60s, I decided we need a church in this area, and we might as well dig in and begin one. So we started one, and I don't know how many people said, "How old are you?" And I said, By now, I can't remember. Ask my wife. She keeps up with stuff like that. What does age have to do with it? Why do we worry about the mid-60s retirement? Why do we set our sights on finding a place to hang a do not disturb sign on our doorknob? Where'd that come from? Not the scriptures. Not a word of this in Paul's life or lifestyle. Not a word of it. So he says to Timothy, in effect, "I don't want to hear a word of that from you, young man. You're in your 40s. Who knows how long you have? Man up." Verse 14, "You must remain faithful to the things you have been taught." I remember hearing those words when I was ordained, 1963. The ordination council of about 8 men that to this day makes me shudder when I realize the significance of those men. They could have shredded me, but they were gracious. And I remember their challenge almost to a man: you don't ever, ever back away from your calling. You stay at it. It reminded me of my father and of my grandfather. And these words come to you today from the Word of God. You must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. If you don't, what about your heritage? What about your children and your grandchildren? What are they going to learn from your involvement or lack of such if you quit? You don't quit life. You press on. And that is why he says what he does to Timothy right here in this section of Scripture. May I urge you against shrugging your shoulders when you come across something that is challenging? May I urge you not to look the other way? May I urge you not to be afraid when it may involve a price that you'll have to pay? By the way, I remember reading the story of a man who was in kind of a forced retirement. He didn't think he had much future left. He left the ministry and he left the church, and there was a nice farewell that was done in all sincerity. And a door opened for him to go to overseas. He went overseas and he took with him his belongings. They were lost on the way over, so he had nothing. When he got there, the Lord opened a door and another door and another door, and he stayed at it until he was in his early 90s, ministering, continued to minister when others were thinking it's all over. You know when it's over? When you tell yourself it's over.
when you convince yourself that you're finished. You've paid your dues. By the way, I can't find that one either in the scriptures. Paid my dues. You have a debt to discharge that began at the cross. And this one who never quit and went all the way to the age of 33, dying in the process of fulfilling a mission, left us with a reminder, this is how we do it. You must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. Now, when you get to chapter 4, we are closer to the end of Paul's life, and maybe that explains a little of the intensity as he levels Timothy with some urgent commands. He begins with a solemn charge. Look at how he opens the subject. I solemnly urge you, in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who someday will judge the living and the dead when he appears to set up his kingdom. Wow. I mean, he's reminding Timothy of the Supreme Court of the universe. And he's saying, this is of inestimable importance, young man. Take it seriously. This is your job. Now, I understand when I get into these verses, some of you have not been called to an ordained kind of ministry. I understand that. Don't hide behind that. Don't let yourself tell you that because you don't fulfill the responsibility of an ordained minister, then this doesn't really speak. Hold it. You're part of those who support this. Without your presence, this isn't much of a church. We need you, each one of you, standing in support of these directions. And what are the commands? Take the time to study verse 2. There are 5 commands. You might want to underscore them. Number 1, preach. Preach the word. Number 2, be prepared. Or be ready, your Bible may read. Number 3, correct. Number 4, rebuke. Number 5, encourage or exhort. What I am doing is expositing the word of God. I am going through the words that stand out so that you will see these verbs are the structure of Paul's thoughts. He's saying to Timothy in language he could understand, you have a responsibility to preach, to stay ready, to correct, to rebuke, and to exhort. That's your job description. Let's take them one after another. Preach the word of God. In every generation, the word of God is to be preached without fear, without favoritism, and without apology. It is to be preached without hesitation or reservation. I am to herald the truth. I am to proclaim it as it appears. I am to teach it. I am to interpret it carefully. I am to do research in it so that my words hold weight. I am to apply it in light of today's world, and I'm never to depart from it. Those who do that are called expositors of the Word of God, and our ranks are thinning. Our ranks are thinning. I don't know how many people tell me as they describe the place they've moved and they love the home that they've been able to buy, and the kids are there and they're happy and they're in a school they enjoy, but they usually say, you know what? You just can't find a good church. Isn't that interesting? After all these generations, all of these years, in the United States of America, to say nothing of overseas, how rare it is to find a pulpit that faithfully proclaims and teaches and interprets and applies and never departs and never stops preaching the Word of God. That is our command. Now, I thought, how can I make this clear so that everybody gets it? Nobody misses it. So let's turn it to our physical condition, okay? A little imagination won't hurt. Let's say you've been having chest pains. You're overweight. You're not exercising. Your blood pressure is higher than it has ever been.
You're short of breath when you take a flight of stairs. Sometimes you're dizzy. You're not sleeping real well. You're worried more. You're under greater stress. Obviously, you need a checkup. There's something wrong inside your body. But you're not a doctor. Interestingly, there are two medical centers that are available to you. One is very close. It's called the Warm and Fuzzy Medical Center. The three doctors who serve there are Dr. Feelgood, Dr. Happy Entertainer, and Dr. Big Smile. And you walk in and you find the brochure that reads, "Oh, we want you to feel welcome most of all. Enjoy our offices. We've colored them in such a way that they will seem pleasant to whoever is here. We will never be offensive in anything we say. We're going to stay away from ugly words like malignancy and high cholesterol and suspicious tumor. And we're not going to use legalistic diagnostic techniques like MRIs or electrocardiograms. And we're certainly not going to worry with x-rays if your arm is hurting. Because we want you to leave our offices feeling positive about yourself. We want you to feel good about yourself. We never want you to have a reason to be offended by us or to be concerned about anything we may say or point out." The Warm and Fuzzy Medical Center is available. On another corner or some distance away is another place that isn't as attractive, that doesn't look as pleasant. But you walk in and you hear soon, "We deal with the truth. We will tell you the truth. Our equipment is the latest equipment, and we will tell you exactly what we find is true. If anything is suspicious, we'll use that word. If it turns out to be a malignancy, we will use the word cancer. We will do our best to describe the treatment that will help you. It is our desire to make it possible for you to have health once again, and therefore we will not tell you what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. You've got a choice. There isn't a person in this room that would go to the Warm and Fuzzy Medical Center. But there are millions that will go to a warm and fuzzy church where you're made to feel good. You're entertained. After all, your attention span is not much over 6-7 minutes. So for that reason, we'll play a little video clip and we'll all laugh together about it. And then I'll find some verse somewhere, Song of Solomon, maybe 2 Peter, maybe Galatians, maybe Ezra, and I'll tie it into some inane subject, and then you leave as I tell you how great you're doing and how wonderful it is. After all, I mean, it's just like watching a TV show, and you will never grow in that setting. You will never be convicted. You will never become self-sustaining in handling the Word of God on your own. Because you're not equipped to do that. I will tell you from the doctor I go to, happens to be Dr. Ken Cooper, and the clinic where I go and the workup they do, he sends me a book that it looks like a baby thesis when he's finished. I mean, I know everything from my dirty toenails up to my hair that wasn't washed. I know everything about it. I know the chemicals. I know the details. I know his areas of concern. Every page is filled with warnings. Concerns. He feels better about this. He's concerned about that. He tells me the truth, and he doesn't once tell me what I want to hear. I said that to him one time. He looked at me like I was from Mars. You ever tell anybody what they want to hear? Why would I do that? He said, "By the way, I've had 7 people die in that chair where you're sitting right there." And I said, "Well, I'm changing chairs." No, it isn't the chair. I know. You know why I keep going back? Because I need to know the truth about what's inside this body. I need to hear it from somebody who has nothing to lose and everything to gain by giving me the truth. In Paul's mind, when he tells Timothy to preach the word, his desire is that Timothy be a faithful disciple.
expositor of the Scriptures. One of my great concerns is the rarity of solid exposition. I don't find many schools or even seminaries that teach people how to open the Word of God, explain it, interpret it carefully and well, to do research, and to help people know the meaning of words and phrases and sentences and paragraphs and chapters. I'm hearing these days that people's attention span is short, so we need to not put them through the misery of sitting through the long lectures on Bible teaching. And my response to that is another great Greek word, hogwash. Nonsense. Just as you want to hear the truth about your health, so you need to hear the truth about your souls. And when you hear the truth, you understand what is happening, and then you are equipped to do something about it. For that, we would give anything we own. Timothy, Timothy, it's in the Word of God. Preach it, proclaim it, spend time in it. Don't apologize for it. Say it straight. Even if they walk out, even if the crowd gets small, stay at it, Timothy. Don't quit. Don't back off. Now, notice secondly, he is to be prepared. In fact, he says in the next command, be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. You know what the Greek term says? Stand by. Not stand down. Stand by. Be ready. I like the way J.B. Phillips renders this. Never lose your sense of urgency. One of my mentors used to say, preach on tiptoe. Be on the edge of your seat when you declare. Stay passionate. If they go to sleep, it's because they didn't get enough sleep last night. It's not because you're boring. Stay passionate. Be prepared. Don't ever apologize because you didn't have time to do so. It's your job to take time so that when you deliver the goods, people can count on it. Regardless of the weather, the season of the year, regardless of your age, regardless of your feelings or others' feelings, regardless of people's response, or whether the crowd is large or small, be ready. Be prepared. Have the information that needs to be declared and declare it, knowing that God will honor that declaration. Stand by. Stay ready. Be prepared.
Quitting is always a bad option, but especially when it means compromising the truth. You're listening to Insight for Living and a message from Chuck Swindoll. To learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. If you've been listening to Insight for Living for any length of time, you know that upholding the integrity of God's Word is our highest calling. Forsaking the truth, or even bending the truth for the sake of making it more popular, will never happen here. When you invest in this ministry, you can be certain that your generosity will be honored. There's a growing circle of friends who've upheld Insight for Living Ministries, making this daily teaching from Chuck possible. We call them monthly companions. A monthly companion is someone who prays for this ministry and who gives a donation every month. You can either automate this process, which makes the engagement quite simple, or you can choose to send your donation in the mail each month. If you're one of our monthly companions, we're deeply grateful for you. Your month-by-month giving is making it possible for us to persist. And your contributions are infusing courage in someone else, just as someone once did for you. To become a monthly companion, here's the number to call. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. Or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. You can also give a one-time gift by calling us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. Today and again tomorrow, Chuck is talking about the power of persistence. To go deeper into this subject, I'll recommend a book he's written called Finding God When the World's on Fire. In this brief, hardbound book, Chuck explains how to sustain your determination no matter what trials come your way. Look for Finding God When the World's on Fire when you go to insight.org/offer. Or call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. In the event you missed any portion of this presentation called Never Quitting, remember you can listen online and catch up with other programs by downloading the convenient mobile app or by listening online. You'll find all the details at insight.org/listen. Those who support Insight for Living with a monthly gift truly have a ministry all their own.
God's amazing grace is our overarching theme every day on Insight for Living. In fact, it's quite possible that God has used our daily program to extend His grace to you. And I know, as your Bible teacher, I have been a grace recipient as well.
Our monthly companions are first recipients of God's grace. But when you begin to give monthly, God is deploying you as a courier of His grace. Today, we're inviting you to join the team.
Please jot down our contact information and follow the Lord's prompting. When you do that, you'll become an elegant bouquet, a sweet fragrance of God's grace, here at home and all around the world.
Do for some unsuspecting person what someone once did for you. Become a monthly companion. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. Be sure to listen tomorrow when Chuck Swindoll continues his message about never quitting, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Never Quitting, was copyrighted in 2013, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.